Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, how are we feeling,
buddy? I'm feeling pretty good, James. Thank you for asking. I do appreciate it. Had a decent day at work. Looking forward to half day tomorrow. The staff, understaffed to me, is having training, so I get to go home at lunch. It's pretty nice. It's going to be pretty nice. So excited for that. More excited to talk a lot of football tonight. Going to be talking about a bunch of fun teams, a bunch of fun players, a bunch of controversy. James has already told me about a player that he's low on that I'm higher on. So get excited for that. But before we start everything, James, I want to know how you are doing tonight.
I'm doing really well. Spent a lot of the day outside today. It's been oppressively hot. Took Indy to the dog park where there were a bunch of dogs and he just refused to get involved. He would just sit by me and just try to, I don't know if he wanted to protect me or wanted me to protect him, probably the latter, but I'd have to literally like walk into the mosh pit for him to play with other dogs. I don't know why he was doing that.
My question is why were you not in the mosh pit of other dogs just naturally?
Okay, so it was kind of like a big crowd of dog parents surrounding a giant mosh pit of dogs. So it was weird for me to walk into the mosh pit of dogs, but that was the only way Indy was gonna play, which he did eventually. And I had to kick him out of the basement where I'm recording today because Kelsey's not home yet. And when she opens up the garage door, he's going to freak out. So he's not allowed to freak out down here. But we got a great show planned for you all today. Talking in this episode, the other half of the NFC North, hitting the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. Two teams whose fan bases love each other very much, mm-hmm. very passionately, yep. and want each other to do well all the time. But before we do, shameless plug real quick. If you are in the West Chicago suburban area on August 7th, 2025, I will be speaking at the Sturdy Shelter Brewery in Batavia, Illinois, talking fantasy football. So if you're in the area and you want to come check out the presentation, check out the talk, come on down. I believe tickets are available on the Sturdy Shelter website. That is August 7th. Going to be talking foot beer, trying to promote general love of fantasy football and also, you know, the Fantasy Foot Beer podcast. So, come to the show. But, Stu, you ready to talk Packers?
Maybe before we talk Packers, we just run through the quick hits of the most recent NFL news. You know, things like there were a couple extensions. Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson both got extended. We'll talk about him in a soon episode. But Rashee Rice getting convicted. Is it convicted? I don't know.
I forgot we didn't even talk about
something
that
like
yet.
That. Jordan Addison also pled down to a lesser charge. You know, suspensions pending for the pair of them. Oh, God, what else has happened in the last few days? Philip Rivers retired as a Charger, as a Colts fan, F you, I guess. Anyway, that's...
Spend your entire career as a Charger and 1 year as the Colts. Screw you.
Ooh, big one. Titans quarterback Will Levis undergoes surgery on throwing shoulder. He's going to miss the entirety of the 2025 season. He was already going to miss it because he's bad, and they drafted Cam Ward first overall. So, all right. Packers time.
I got a couple others you missed that just happened within, like, the last hour.
Oh, my God.
Raiders sign Jamal Adams, safety, who's basically on his way out of the league anyway. And the 49ers sign Equanimeous St. Brown, big brother of Amon.
Yes, both highly fantasy-relevant pieces of news. Much more relevant than Terry McLaurin is currently absent from training camp.
Yeah. Have to see what happens there. They're going to pay him.
Hopefully.
They're going to pay him, right?
They're going to pay him something.
All right. Well, hopefully. All right. Let's start here with the Packers. I believe that Well, the Packers, for fantasy football, are a confusing team and have been for a while, specifically in the wide receiver area. So I think we wait and do that maybe last. Let's start with the one area for fantasy that seems to make any sense for the Packers, and that is running backs. Josh Jacobs, currently sitting at the running back 9. I've seen him go in the second round. Today I saw him a lot in the third round. Stu, what do you make of Josh Jacobs?
So it's all about the the personality of the Packers, the makeup of the team, what they wanted to do last season. Because I'm going to talk about this a little bit later when we talk about Jordan Love, but it feels like everything shifted once injuries started happening to Jordan Love a couple times in that season. And then they just started leaning on Josh Jacobs. They started giving him the rock every single time when they were there within the 20. And he just scored touchdowns out the wazoo. It was great for fantasy. It was amazing for fantasy. It just remains to be seen whether this is going to be their makeup going forward. Are they still going to be this run-first, low-pass-attempt offense, or are we thinking maybe some regression back for Josh Jacobs? Overall, I think he's a perfectly fine, if you got him in the third and you went wide receiver, or Bowers in the first two rounds, I'd be okay with that, but I'm much more comfortable with him being my RB2. He feels like he's older, and he's not really older, considering he's only 27. It feels like he's been in the league forever, but I think he's perfectly safe and stable, but I don't think we can expect the same heights last year than coming into 2025. James, do you feel similarly, or am I off base?
I do feel similarly. And, you know, I even had it that I was going to mention he's not as old as he seems because he's only 27. It's funny you mentioned that. But I think you're really spot on. I think safe is the perfect way to describe him. I think that just because of the boom we had last year in running backs, people are going to be very eager to take running backs early. And if you're looking for a guy who really should be an RB1 in this league with a really safe floor, I think Josh Jacobs is going to be your guy. But that, as you said, is dependent on scheme for the rest of the team. And the Packers very clearly tried to address that in their draft. They ended up taking two wide receivers in the first three rounds, which we'll get to them. But clearly, there is going to be some effort to address the passing game. So we'd love to say that Josh Jacobs isn't going to get, you know, infinity attempts again this year inside the 20. But, you know, also, we're not sure he's not. But also, the guy behind him, Marshawn Lloyd, has been one of the guys I've seen, at least, that are darlings for people who are looking for late round handcuffs. Marshawn Lloyd, really a kind of unheralded guy at this point. I see him going to the 14th as the RB56 in PPR. But with a guy who's expecting to get the kind of volume that Josh Jacobs did and probably could this year again, there's a lot of value to stashing Marshawn Lloyd. And if you're getting him in the 14th round, I don't have a problem with that at all. Everybody down there is going to end up being high-risk guys anyway. And, you know, Josh Jacobs has had injuries before. He goes down early in the season. Marshawn Lloyd ends up stepping into an enormous opportunity to make a name for himself here in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, Stu, what do you got on dart throws?
Yeah, well, I mean, people might not even recognize the name Marshawn Lloyd, even though this is coming into his second year. As a rookie, he was just injured the entire season. He never really got his legs under him, literally. I think it was a hamstring issue that nagged him. So a lot of the you know, backup duties or pass-catching duties fell to number three on the chart is Emmanuel Wilson. He had 103 attempts and 4 touchdowns, so I mean, there were weeks that you maybe kind of considered picking him up off the wire last year, but that's not going to happen again this year, assuming health for the two guys above him. So good season last year, my guy, but we'll see you later on. Anyway, if you're talking dart throws, James, it feels like the entirety of the wide receiver core is just a dart throw. Like, who are you going to pick, and are they going to be relevant? Like, that you mentioned they took a couple wide receivers in the first round, or second and third rounds. In the first round, they took Matthew Golden. They still have Jaden Reed, who is incredible on tape, but just does not put the production out there. Romeo Doubs, Mr. Holdout, or bench himself. Dontavian Wicks is still there, and then, of course, Christian Watson's going to miss the entire season. Of any of these guys, like, take your pick. Jaden Reed is the one that's going to be costing you anything overall in, you know, draft capital. Right now he's going as the wide receiver 44 overall, 99 in standard scoring. So, I mean, he's pretty cheap overall. But if I was going to take a stab at anybody, it's not going to be Golden or Doubs. It would be Reed that late. I think he's got the highest ceiling of any of them. And if you're taking somebody that late, you know, you might as well just, you know, give it your best shot, James. How are you feeling about the pass catchers in Green Bay?
Ultimately, I'm feeling pretty terrible about them. I think about as terrible as anybody else is. But I think that we should talk about the rookies here. Matthew Golden, taken as the number 23 pick out of Texas, had a, I think you could say, prolific receiving career with the Longhorns. But they weren't done there. They also grabbed, with their third-round pick, Savion Williams out of TCU. So taking that kind of depth that early in the draft is pretty significant. I think Jaden Reed is probably safe to maintain, well, I would say maintain his role as the top wide receiver in this core, but I don't really think you can say he's truly the top guy when any given week it could be any of them. But Jaden Reed probably is the guy you want to have, but I'm taking a nice hard look at Matthew Golden. He's going just a little bit after Jaden Reed, and there's a reason why. But I think there's something to be said, or at least questions to be asked about why this is happening to the Packers receivers. Is it about the receiving core, which seems to be talented, or is it the quarterback, Jordan Love, who seems to be, I think, the definition of the word average? Or maybe slightly above average. He's a slightly above average mobile quarterback, slightly above average in his, I'd say, passing IQ, and in terms of where he may or may not go in a draft, slightly average to below average QB2, if you're someone who is in a two quarterback league. But is Jordan Love holding these receivers back? Or are these receivers and this kind of embarrassment of riches or what have you holding each other back? Ultimately, I'm not targeting anybody unless it's just a ridiculous drop in the draft. And seeing as it's really hard for anybody to gauge these guys, this receiving corps, I think there's a solid shot that that happens on draft day to a lot of you too. Thoughts on that?
Yes, and we're going to disagree heavily because I think Jordan Love is one of the best values in the draft, and I'm not going to be shy about saying it. He's 2 years removed from being like the quarterback five, and I just want you to look at his season in a broad spectrum, because in the very first game they played on that one terrible turf game in Sao Paulo, and he hurt his ankle or whatever lower leg injury on like the final play of the game. Not a great start to the season, but he comes back. I mean, after a while, he comes back. You know, he had Malik Willis out there. He won a couple games. It was surprising. Good for them. He comes back in, early October, plays a little bit, and then he hurts his groin a little bit later. And I just want you to look at the attempts per game from before the groin injury going to after the groin injury, because it is night and day. They just stopped throwing the ball. I mean, he was averaging mid to high 30s in attempts per game before the injury. He's down in the mid 20s, perhaps, afterwards. The reason that they did this was because, like I alluded to earlier, they just ran the ball. They became a run-first team. He wasn't required to make all these excellent throws and support all of these mouths that we were talking about last year, the Dobbses, the Watsons, the Reeds, you know. He wasn't required to do that. He absolutely still can, and a clean bill of health in 2025, he still has this embarrassment of riches, tons of different targets to acquire and use, and I think he could do it again, and he's basically free in your draft. Like, you're spending like a 10th, 9th, 10th, 11th round pick on Jordan Love. People are discrediting him and discounting him to such an extreme that I personally think that he's going to be an insane value. The only things that are detractors is that, I mean, I don't know if you know this as well, but if you're going strength of schedule, the entirety of the NFC North is like in the top 10, or bottom 10, if you want to call it that. Their schedules are very strong against. So you're going to be playing Jordan Love against a lot of good teams, a lot of good defenses, you know. Is he going to be able to hold up over the course of the season? Should you maybe have a little bit of an insurance policy? I mean, I'm not saying you just take him as your only quarterback and run into the season guns a-blazing, but I think he's an incredible value, and I would be looking at him personally.
I do want to kind of fact check a little bit. Not that you said anything wrong, but the game that you mentioned as being the changing point for when his attempts started to go down was that Minnesota game in week 4 where he had 54 passing attempts there. I do want to say for context, the Packers were down 28-7 at halftime and had like a 300-yard fourth quarter there, mostly off of Jordan Love chucking the ball downfield. Jaden Reed had an incredible game in that in that one too.
Okay,
so, I mean, a lot of that was game script, but also, I do think there's something to be said about, I mean, that. I mean, yes, he got injured after that, but everybody's
okay.
Injured. No one in the NFL is healthy.
I'm gonna strangle you. I'm gonna strangle you from across the airwaves. Okay, the next 5 games, even after that Minnesota game, that he's healthy and he's playing, 3 out of 5, he's over 30 passes attempted. After that Detroit game where they lost, he doesn't sniff 30 attempts. Oh, sorry, he did it against Minnesota in week, what is that, 17, 18? Very late in the season, but again, the same team that you said that he's having these game scripts, negative game scripts against, and they lost the second time as well against Minnesota. So it's inflated a little bit by one outlier game. That's awesome. Does that not show you that he has the capability of taking over the offense and putting together great runs and great drives? Just saying.
Sure, capability, but there's a lot of other guys out there I would prefer.
Okay, I mean, I would prefer Josh Allen too, but not all of us can draft Josh Allen.
But you can get Bo Nix for relatively cheap.
Save it for next episode.
I will. All right, let's talk tight ends. The Packers have Tucker Kraft and Tyler Higbee. We don't need to talk about Tyler Higbee today. No. But Tucker Kraft, he's sitting at the tight end 10 in PPR. He's going to be a streamer. I think that for basically after you get past the tight end 5 or 6, I'm totally comfortable to wait until the end of the draft to get my tight end. If you're not getting one of those guys in the towards the middle of the draft or the middle early rounds, I'm not even thinking about your guys. I'm not thinking about Tucker Kraft at all. It's just if he's the guy who ends up being available. That might be a little dismissive on my part, but that's, I think, is my approach to drafting tight ends this year. Stu, do you disagree with me on this one?
I don't really have a whole lot to say on Tucker Kraft. I mean, it all just looks the same. Like, it's just the same. You know, you go to the bread aisle, and there's like 5 or 6 different brands of bread. They're all just, it's bread. They're just all tight ends. Like, we don't have to get crazy deep into them. I mean, if you get some good weeks out of Tucker Kraft and you're streaming him, awesome, good for you. But it's not going to be a good season-long investment for you.
But if Tucker Kraft was a bread, what kind of bread would he be?
If Tucker Kraft was a bread, what kind of bread would he be? Let us know on Instagram, on Twitter, at FantasyFootBeer. It seems so... Okay, I'm not going to call him Wonder Bread. He can be like Sunbeam. I like Sunbeam bread.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
I'm cool with Sunbeam bread. I like it.
All right, I like that.
That might be high praise for him. Never mind.
Okay.
Okay, James.
All right. defense. Packers are sitting defense 13. There'll be a streaming option for you at some point. Brandon McManus, not draftable as the kicker 22. Let's move on to Chicago. Where would you like to start, Dr. Steve?
Let's talk about... Oh, God. I don't even know. They're off-season champions like 3 years in a row. Everyone has such high expectations for the Bears, and they've let us down so many times that it kills me to think and to know in my heart that I'm excited again. We could start with the guy who's the linchpin. The entirety of the team is going to rest on whether Caleb Williams is better this year than he was last year. He was very pedestrian last year, very middle of the pack, not living up to the billing of a first overall draft pick. And a lot of that we can lay at the feet of the coaching. You know, we've had an overhaul in coaching. Mr. Eberflus is gone. Shane Waldron is gone. The guy, like, they wouldn't even take him through film, is what Caleb was saying. Like, he was watching film on his own. Not a great situation in Chicago last year. So the potential for Caleb Williams to be a lot better, maybe even way better in 2025, is there. I mean, Ben Johnson coming over from Detroit. Detroit had such a prolific offensive attack. I mean, creative plays. They were fun to watch. It was incredible. Now he comes over to the Bears. Can we replicate some of that magic and get a little bit of life in the Chicago Bears in Caleb Williams? Because he's got all the natural ability that you could want. He is capable of leading an NFL-style offense. It's just, can we put it together this year, James? In fantasy-wise, I'm perfectly happy leaving him off of my team, like not drafting him, seeing how he goes, and maybe getting him in free agency after the first few weeks if I'm needy at quarterback, if I took Jordan Love and he, like, sucks or something and I'm just way off base. Maybe I can get Caleb Williams. But, James, how are you feeling? I really want to know how you feel about this Chicago-based team as a Chicagoan yourself.
Okay. So, a lot of reasons for Bears fans to be, you know, at least a little bit optimistic this year. Obviously, Ben Johnson, great get. Offensive guru, genius, some are calling him. retooled offensive line. Drafted Colston Loveland out of Michigan. However, I'm not excited about Caleb Williams as a fantasy football quarterback yet. This feels like him being drafted as a quarterback one right now, and he is, as far as I can see, sitting at projected quarterback 12, so a quarterback one if you're in a 12-man league, which a lot of us are. We haven't seen much outside of potential to suggest that there's something there. His connection with DJ Moore, who got paid to be a wide receiver one for the Bears, wasn't really there last year. His connection with Roma Dunze, who was their high draft pick last year, again, didn't really seem to be there. Now, we can blame a lot of this, rightfully so, on the ineptitude of Bears coaching last year and the lack of an offensive line. He was getting sacked more than, I think, any other quarterback in the NFL. But, again, at least in terms of talent and longevity of that offensive line, it wasn't as bad as people say it was, but it sounds like the coaching was. So I think really outside of that potential piece, we don't really know what we're getting here. And that is something that if you want to take a flyer on Caleb Williams, I'm seeing him in the 12th round right now, good on you. I've seen him go higher than that. And if it works out and he ends up being a top five quarterback this year, congratulations. that's one of the best picks you could make. But if you take him in the 12th round, 11th round maybe you're an insane person and you take him in the 10th, and he ends up being the QB 15, you know, that's about where you took him in the draft, so you can't really be mad at yourself. I'm just not going to be excited about it until I see more to be excited about. That's kind of my take. I'm not taking him. I'm not drafting him. I'm hoping to take my quarterback before that, but also around him, other quarterbacks that will be there, Brock Purdy at the QB 11. Kyler Murray has been dropping to that area. Some people may take Dak Prescott or Justin Herbert, maybe even Jared Goff, which we talked about before. I am not totally sure that I wouldn't take all of those guys over Caleb Williams right now. I'm just, as a person who wants to see the Chicago Bears succeed, I'm not getting my hopes up.
Yep. I would take all those quarterbacks over him quite easily. Yep. Even Goff, who I'm not super high on at his price. So, we need a little bit of certainty in the Bears if we're going to be investing in them. We can talk about running backs next, because there's really only one like reputable name that we could talk about. It was one of their biggest needs going into the draft, and they invested heavily by spending their final pick on a guy from, I think it was Clemson. It was Monon guy from Clemson, but
Rutgers.
Whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's Same not going to be fantasy relevant. I don't need to know. don't get after me on social media. Well, there's DeAndre Swift. You know, just like Ben Johnson kicked him out of Detroit and he came to Chicago, and now Ben Johnson is there too. I don't know how that's going to work out, if Ben Johnson's going to get DeAndre Swift kicked out again, but really he's the only guy in there. There's Roshan Johnson. He's fine for what he is, but DeAndre Swift feels like about as safe for volume as you could get in the mid to later rounds of drafts. It's not going to be flashy, it's not going to be high ceiling, but he's going to fill a role and give you a fairly consistent single-digit score every single week. And there's some level of value to that, James. Do you have anything flashy to say about DeAndre Swift, or are we just kind of accepting him for what he is?
I think all of the flashy things that there were to say about DeAndre Swift happened last year between weeks 4 and, I guess, 11. Right before going into the Bears bye week, he had rattled off weeks of 29 points, 20 points, 22 points, and holy crap, was he rolling. It looked like he was going to be a steal of the draft. But reality kind of hit, and by the time we hit late season and into the playoffs, he didn't scratch double digits again until week 17. And if you had him, you weren't in the fantasy championship. So I think that, again, a lot of that kind of speaks to Bears attrition that we saw last year, winning 4 of their first 5 and then rattling off a million losses in a row, including the most embarrassing walk-off Hail Mary in Washington we've ever seen. But I think I'm kind of waxing a little bit depressed Bears fan here. But DeAndre Swift as a kind of low-ish tier RB2, I mean, I'm not going to be excited to get him. There are other guys I would rather have. We've been talking a little bit between us, both on the show and outside of it, about whether or not we believe the RB dead zone still exists. DeAndre Swift, seeing him going in the 5th or the 6th, makes me believe that it might, but just for DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift is the dead zone.
He's the dead zone unto himself.
He's like a siren who, there are things calling out to you to pull you in, but ultimately you know that it's going to be fool's gold and it's probably not going to work out. So, yeah. DeAndre Swift is the dead zone.
Oh, goodness. I guess we're going draft at your own peril.
Yeah. Roshan Johnson, I'm not taking him either.
Nice. pass catchers than DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Colston Loveland. Anybody else that we need to talk about? Luther Burden is a rookie, but he's probably not going to be super fantasy relevant unless the Bears offense really takes off. So let's talk about DJ Moore, who I feel like isn't getting a whole lot of chatter going into this season. I mean, he signed a four-year extension with the Bears, so he's entrenched there. He's only 28 years old, still a very good wide receiver, was nibbling at 100 receptions last year, low in the touchdowns, but he still did reasonably well. I mean, he didn't have the flashy season last year, but right now he's going in standard as the wide receiver 21, which, I mean, it almost feels a little bit low. He could probably jump a spot or two looking at the names around him. I mean, we haven't really talked yet about Rashee Rice, and Terry McLaurin is still unsigned, so he could leapfrog those guys. But a mid to low wide receiver two feels fine for him, but even with the potential to be better, if the Bears offense, if you believe it to be better, DJ Moore is going to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of such an improvement. And to improve upon almost 100 receptions, almost 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns, he could very well be a good spot of value in 2025 drafts, James. Do you feel that way about DJ Moore? Or are we going with do not draft for most, or if not all of the Bears?
I think DJ Moore is the only guy who I'm going to have anything positive to say. And this is why. Looking at the other guys who are going around that kind of mid-tier wide receiver two area, a lot of them are... I mean, the whole reason you become a mid-tier wide receiver two is because people have questions about you. Guys who are around that area, looking at Devontae Adams, not expecting him to have hardly any season at all. Mike Evans, who's getting up there in age. Terry McLaurin, who we've been talking about, we don't know if he's going to show up. Marvin Harrison Jr., who is probably close to the most hyped wide receiver of all time as a rookie and came up flat. Rashee Rice, who there's a suspension coming. DK Metcalf. All of these guys who we have a lot of questions. DJ Moore is probably the only one of those guys who the question we have isn't about him. It's about everything else. And when we're talking about a wide receiver, if you are the best thing going on there, the biggest thing we can expect is volume. And I think for him, the reason why he got to where he did last year, even if the connection with Caleb Williams wasn't really what we thought it was going to be, look at the volume that he's had, especially late in the season. This is just from week 11 on, seven receptions for seven targets, seven receptions for seven targets, eight for 16, six for eight, eight for eight, seven for 10, six for eight, nine for 10. There was a lot of volume there, and there's a lot to be had. And yes, they drafted Luther Burden out of Missouri with their second rounder, who is in and of himself a good receiver, going to be a nice little speed demon type guy. I think there's still going to be work for DJ Moore to get. And with a guy like DJ Moore, I know I've said in the past that it's not volume is king, meaningful volume is king. In this case, for your wide receiver two, give me volume. I like that. I like DJ Moore. I like him with the question marks he's being drafted against. That's the only good thing I'm going to say about the Chicago Bears today. And, yeah.
Well, excellent. Now we can start. We're going to go back to our regularly scheduled Crapping on the Bears segment.
Yeah.
Rome Odunze, starting with him. Can you tell me why it feels like he's being drafted far too high? Why are we high on him? I feel like this is going to be for the drafters that are really buying in to the Bears being markedly better over the course of the season than they were last year, because he had like 3 or 4 games of good value, good production, but as a season-long asset, he belonged on the waiver wire.
I think it's people buying into Ben Johnson, and not in the way that you'd think. People buying into Ben Johnson thinking they're going to see the Lions offense in Chicago. something that we as a football community need to understand. If you have a good football coach, they are not taking one offense and putting it in another place. Chip Kelly tried to do that back in the day with the Eagles after he had famously had his hurry-up offense in Oregon, brought it to the NFL, worked for like half a season, and then just spent the rest of his NFL coaching career getting crapped on. Ben Johnson is a good coach because he knows how to build an offense around the guys he has. Roma Dunze, we saw, I mean, really the last time we saw him be dominant was in Washington in college. People who are excited about Roma Dunze are the people who are excited about the Ben Johnson offense they saw in Detroit, thinking that if they can take Jameson Williams' spot and do it with a better quarterback, take that big, deep playability plus volume, and holy crap, you've got a world beater. I don't think that's what this is going to be. I think that's what people are thinking. I think those people are wrong. Roma Dunze may end up getting, you know, a little bit better in terms of volume than he did last year. He did kind of pick it up a little bit later in the season, but nothing crazy. He had a lot of two reception weeks along with the fives and six, you know, something you would expect from a fringe flex guy. And not to say that's more of what we're going to see this year. I think that the upside of a second year wide receiver who struggled in year one is definitely something to look at. But Luther Burden is also, they don't draft a guy that early in that position if they don't expect him to get any work in. So not that I think Luther Burden is going to jump up that quickly to replace Roma Dunze as wide receiver two. It's just going to be something to think about. So I'm not drafting Roma Dunze. I'm not drafting Luther Burden. I'm not drafting wide receiver 135 Olamide Zaccheaus. It's just DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. Only Bears receiver I'm thinking about. And I'm also not thinking about Colson Loveland.
Yeah, I just don't see a route to where I would be starting Roma Dunze under most, if not any, circumstance. And if you're not drafting somebody to be like, this person could eventually be a starter, like, just let one of your teammates or league mates draft him and let him rot on their bench. Colson Loveland, though, I would not be. Okay, I would be. I mean, Komet is still there. He's going to have stiff competition even at his own skill position. But the rookie tight end thing is, there's an attractiveness to it. Just the unknown. I mean, last year people scored on Brock Bowers and won championships because of him. People are going to be looking for something like that again. Colson Loveland was taken in the first round, as well as Warren, but we're talking about Loveland now. But the skill set is there. There was a reason he was taken so early. There was a reason he was taken over Warren. He was taken at, like, what, pick 13? Like, they see something in Colson Loveland. They think that he fits into whatever Ben Johnson's going to be bringing to Chicago. I think he's worth a pick in the draft. You better be getting him super late, and you better have punted on tight end the entire time and built depth in other places, but he's worth drafting at some point.
Now, let me talk about Colson Loveland as a draft prospect, because right now, that's all we have. That's all we know to go off of with him. Opposite Cole Kmet, I think it's a great kind of mix of two different guys. Huge 6'6 frame, big catch radius, was able to be successful in a Michigan team that struggled last year. He's not a great blocker. He's really a giant receiver who doesn't move really that well. It's his size that makes him good. Opposite Cole Kmet, who is a good blocker, who also we've seen be a possession type occasional volume guy. Really, Cole Kmet has been a disappointment of a fantasy tight end at times. Colson Loveland, I think, fits in probably below Roma Dunze here, and probably not as far ahead of Cole Kmet as fantasy people are hoping he will be. I think we're going to see prediction one game around week like 8 or 9 where Colston Loveland takes off. He's got like 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. And people are going to lose their mind over him. They're going to say, how did we have him ranked as the tight end 16? And then he's going to go back to like a 8-point game the week after. So look at him later in the season as a streamer, just like all of your other rookie tight ends.
I would take 8 games out of the tight end slot, or 8 points a game out of the tight end slot.
Especially at how they were last year.
Absolutely.
It was rough. Mm-hmm. Finishing us off, the Bears' defense doesn't seem to be draftable, 19. However, strength of schedule may say otherwise. We don't really talk that much about defenses.
Not really.
Actually, no, I lied. Their strength of schedule is kind of tough. Cairo Santos, kicker 26, not draftable.
Remember when I talked about the strength of schedule?
You did.
Anyway, James, as we wrap up here, I'm excited to learn more about beer, and I can't think of anybody better to teach me than our resident beer expert, James Kemp. What are you drinking tonight, my man?
For our last call this evening, I am taking another beer out of Chicago, Illinois. I am drinking from Moore's Brewing Company, their Kolsch. So, not about the Kolsch style today, but about this brewery. Moore's Brewery is one of the only black-owned breweries in Chicago, and they became just the second black-owned brewery to open up a draft house. I believe last year they did. So one thing as a history buff I like, on this can of Moore's Kolsch, they got a picture of a guy named Tariq Ibn Ziyad, who was a Moorish king, hence the name Moors. You may know them from your world or European history as leading the Moors of Berber ascent across the Strait of Gibraltar from Africa to Europe to conquer the Iberian Peninsula for something like 700 years. So, that's what I'm drinking. Stu, what are you drinking?
Well, James, I am getting in the mood. I am going to leave at the end of this week on vacation. I'll be gone a week and a half, and I'm visiting my wife's sister in Canada. So we're driving up just north of International Falls, so I am celebrating, looking forward to that, and getting through my last week of work for a little while with some Molson Canadian Lager. It's been brewed across Canada for the last, century and a quarter, something like that. It's a very, very famous beer from there. They're very much a fan of it. But overall, I mean, if you're going to drink it for yourself, or if you have not drank it before, it's a lager. It's boring. It's very, there's not a whole lot flashy about it. It's like the DeAndre Swift of beers. But I'm happy to be drinking it. I'm already through my first one. I don't know if you guys could tell on this recording, but I'm looking forward to going to Canada.
I think it was got the part where you said you were going to strangle me through the internet.
Well, if you disrespect my man, Jordan Love, who wiled away behind Aaron Flippin' Rodgers for too long, I'm going to strangle you through the airwaves.
That's fair. Oh, wait, we got to open the beers. All right, let's crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1.
Open the beer, my man. I just said I'm through it.
Oh, my bad. I was waiting. As I am pouring this beer and Stu's pouring his third or fourth, I don't know what he's on over there. Remember to check us out on our socials, Instagram, X. If you are in the West Chicago suburban area in a couple weeks, come check out our my presentation at Sturdy Shelter Brewing on August 7th. Stu, any closing thoughts?
Not anything in particular, James. Looking forward to talking about the AFC West in upcoming episodes. So look for that here in the future.
All right. And for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.